Welcome to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast updating you on the latest IT news to come out of and around Redmond. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I thank you for downloading and listening to this show. In this week's episode, Google unveils Wave, Obama calls for security coordinator, Windows 7 consumer discounts begin June 26th, and a Patch Tuesday preview. We'll get to the big news releases from Redmond in just a second, right here on Redmond Radio. Welcome once again to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Well, we've been off and on for about the last few weeks, and I do hope you haven't lost interest in the show. As we make this transition to the new servers, it appears that putting the podcast on the Podbean site is actually a pretty bad idea. So we'll see if we can iron out some of those technical issues that we have, because people do prefer the MP3 version, and we wanted to continue on the iTunes site, but we can't do that right now. Of course, that means we still don't have a show that can be automatically downloaded for those folks who do prefer the MP3. So apologies once again this week to you folks who have to manually stream the show. Come on, it doesn't hurt, right? Well, there was a lot of news coming out of Redmond this week, which I have spread out across this podcast, so let's hit it. A recent study from IT staffing specialist Robert Half Technology suggests that CIOs plan to invest in new IT initiatives over the next year, in spite of a bad economic climate. 70% of CIOs say they'll spend money on new or expanded IT initiatives, including security, cited by 43% of respondents, and virtualization by 28%, as well as data center efficiency by 27%. The study was based on a survey of more than 1,400 U.S. CIOs, all representing companies with 100 or more employees. The upshot, according to Robert Half researchers, is that CIOs aren't opposed to new spending, especially in segments that can help beef up security, improve efficiency, or generate new revenues. Robert Half says that those numbers don't necessarily mean there would be growth in spending, though, but likely a realigning of spending priorities at most of those companies. Microsoft had some big search news a few weeks ago. The company released Bing with a huge ad campaign. You can get to it by typing bing.com and you'll see it filter out to several sites. MSNBC, for example, uses it as their main search now. Microsoft's spending on search technology has been showing up regularly on its quarterly reports as an expense drain. Steve Ballmer said at the All Things D event a few weeks ago in my own backyard here in Carlsbad, California, that Microsoft plans to invest lots of money in the Bing branding effort. A report by Advertising Age suggests that Microsoft would allocate $80 million to $100 million on Bing promos. Previously, Microsoft had tried to increase its search marketing share by offering to buy Yahoo. Microsoft has since dropped that bid, but officials still talk about establishing some sort of search deal with Yahoo. However, the All Things D event failed to generate any such news about an impending deal. Yahoo's CEO, Carol Bartz, noted that the event that a Yahoo acquisition by Microsoft would only be possible with a boatload of money. Bing replaces Microsoft Live Search, and the Bing brand will even seep into Microsoft's mapping application, Virtual Earth, which will be rebranded as Bing Maps for Enterprise, with Live Search Maps being rebranded as Bing Maps. Even as people continue to make comparisons to Google Search, Microsoft likes to spin the message a bit, and they have been calling Bing a decision engine. Before we look at a bunch of news related to Windows 7, here's a bit of news on Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008, which have been updated with Service Packs number 2. New features in SP2 include support for VIA Technologies' 64-bit CPU, the addition of Windows Search 4.0, and updates to Wi-Fi, wireless, and Blu-ray media support, among many other details described in the Notable Changes document. SP2 also contains all of the updates Microsoft has released since SP1. In fact, SP1 is required in order to install SP2 properly. SP2 will also go out via automatic update this month, but admins can use the blocker toolkit to keep it from reaching enterprise machines. Now for a bit of news on Windows 7, which Microsoft said will be generally available on October 22nd this year. That big announcement went out at the Computex show in Taiwan last week, made by Corporate Vice President of Microsoft's OEM division, Steve Guggenheimer. He said the RTM period will be at the end of July, which allows OEMs and PC makers to start downloading it onto new machines getting ready for sale at the end of the year. In related news, a leaked memo from consumer retailer Best Buy has disclosed the start date for Microsoft's incentive program for Windows sales, which is June 26. The incentive deal is known as the Technology Guarantee Program. For a limited time, consumers will be able to get a free OS upgrade when moving from Vista to Windows 7 for those buying new PCs with Vista or a boxed copy of Vista after that date. An Engadget story posted the memo, and the Wall Street Journal confirmed the memo's authenticity with Best Buy. Microsoft hasn't confirmed the memo's validity, though. The offer will start on June 26th and last until October 22nd, when Windows 7 shifts. Another bold move for Microsoft, the company has removed its proposed 3-app limit from Windows 7 Starter Edition. Instead, the Starter Edition will be able to run multiple applications simultaneously. The 3-app limit was a strong point of contention for OEMs who plan to install it on netbooks, which typically sell in the $300 range, which meant a reduction in Microsoft's licensing profits. With the popularity of netbooks, limiting Windows 7 to run only 3 apps would have crippled further a product that was already crippled by a number of missing multimedia features, such as no DVD playback or Multimedia Center Edition for TV viewing. We'll continue with more news in a second. Let's break for this message from 1105 Media. Check out this white paper online now, SharePoint Development and Deployment Guide. The editors of Redmond and Visual Studio Magazine have compiled this exclusive guide that contains the must-have SharePoint third-party products, some from brainy startups and others from long-established IT vendors. Download it today at ad.vu/5WRK. That's ad.vu/5WRK. And welcome back once again to Redmond Radio. One more message before we continue. Be sure to participate in this year's salary survey. It's going on now, and if you need the link, send me an email at mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo@1105media.com. Well, you didn't think all this Redmond news would come at the expense of Google, did you? Well, Google is never idle, and it revealed Google Wave last week, a real-time shared communication stream that can include text, photos, videos, and maps to which all participants can have access. The company unveiled Wave at its second annual Google I.O. conference in San Francisco last week. According to the company, Wave is equal parts conversation and document. A Wave webpage could include Twitter updates, Facebook messages, IMs, email, and a range of input from basic collaboration tools. Forrester senior analyst Jeffrey Hammond described Wave as an early example of a web interaction platform that brings together multiple communication channels, making it possible for conversations to move from one channel to another without friction. It's similar in concept, he said, to unified communications in the telecom world. One promise for end users of this new platform is the simplification of networking and communication applications. Hammond pointed out that this simplification is already taking place. One example is TweetDeck, currently in public beta, which pulls feeds from both Twitter and Facebook to a desktop dashboard. But Wave is also intended to serve as a development platform with a set of open APIs for developers who want to embed Waves into other web services and to build extensions that work inside the Waves themselves. Google released the Wave APIs at the conference. And for developers, Wave represents a new opportunity to compete in what Forrester analyst Neil Strother called in a recently published report an app frenzy that was sparked by the advent of Apple's iPhone App Store. To get developers working on those apps, Google provided all conference attendees with Wave accounts on a sandboxed build of the system. In a somber reminder that there's still a recession going on, Microsoft canceled its Office Developer Conference and will fold the content into its SharePoint Conference 2009 event scheduled for October. Microsoft will also cancel the MSDN Unleashed event in Bellevue, Washington, and has already canceled its Business Intelligence Conference for this year, but has plans to run it in October 2010. Well, let's move immediately to the Beltway, where President Barack Obama, before departing for the Middle East and Europe trip, announced the creation of the position of a cybersecurity coordinator who will direct national cybersecurity policy from the White House. The coordinator, who will be handpicked by the president, will be a member of the National Security Council and National Economic Council, and will work with other agencies and departments, including the Office of Management and Budget and the Homeland Security Department. Although details were not immediately available, operational aspects of securing government networks are expected to remain at the agency level. The announcement coincided with the release of the findings of a comprehensive review of the nation's cybersecurity policy ordered in February by the president. That 60-day review conducted by Melissa Hathaway was completed in April. The coordinator will anchor a suite of initiatives recommended in the review. The other initiatives include a public outreach and education program that would include a drive similar to that in the late 50s and 60s after the Russian launch of the Sputnik satellite to emphasize and improve science education in the United States, creating a stronger partnership between the U.S. and government, its allies, and the private sector to monitor and secure digital assets, creating an effective information sharing and incident report capability, both within the government and the privately owned infrastructure, and finally, encouraging research and development to ensure security and reliability in future generations of information technology. Outlining the growing importance of the Internet and associated technologies to the nation's economic well-being and national security, the President said some progress has been made in cybersecurity, but that the nation is not as prepared as it should be for the threats it faces. The Cyberspace Policy Review concluded that the architecture of the nation's digital infrastructure is not secure or resilient, and that without significant advances, it's doubtful that the U.S. can protect itself from growing threats of cybercrime and state-sponsored intrusions and operations. All right, back to the real world. But speaking of security, Microsoft a week ago issued a security advisory describing a newly disclosed bug in Microsoft Direct Show that could enable a remote code execution attacks. In its advisory, the company said the vulnerability could be triggered if an unsuspecting user opens specially crafted media files. A hacker successfully deploying this bug could increase his user rights privileges within a Windows-based network. However, accounts configured with fewer administrative privileges aren't as vulnerable, said Redmond. Users of Vista, Windows 7 RC1, and Windows Server 2008 are not affected by this vulnerability. Microsoft has rolled out an improved software security incident response process to better respond to the issue, the security bulletin explained. Direct Show is a framework that provides an application programming interface for developers working with multimedia files. The framework supplants Microsoft's earlier Video for Windows interface. And in our final news item for this episode, June may prove to be a busy month for IT pros, with Microsoft planning to release 10 fixes in its next security patch. This week, Microsoft expects to deliver 6 critical and 3 important fixes, as well as one deemed moderate. Items slated to be fixed include Windows, Internet Explorer, Word, Excel, and the general Microsoft Office suite. All 6 critical fixes deal with potential remote code execution vulnerabilities. The important fixes are designed to thwart elevation of privilege attacks, and the lone moderate patch addresses information disclosure exploits. We'll have details in next week's podcast. And for now, that's this week's episode. Before we go, of course, I'd like to say thanks once again to all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program, and especially to those who pass this show on to their colleagues. I'm Michael Domingo. I'll chat with you next week right here on Redmond Radio.